Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is a Sound Health Options Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Richard. Beautiful day out here in Ohio. It feels like California weather.
We actually had, people would call it rain, but it wasn't enough to me. It was more like drizzle all night. So at least the ground is damp. I'm very happy. Well, I'm out in California where I'm in drought country. So any rain is like, yay, rain.
It is 72 degrees here. Can you believe that?
Wow. That's warmer than it is here. It's only 54 here. Wow.
We have the doors open. So it's great.
Wow.
It's great to have an absolutely great show with a guest that we've never had with us before. And we are always in favor of old guests. We're going to get to some old guest stuff just in a few minutes. But we're going to have today Alex Brady with us. And she has.
I think Brady. I'm thinking Alex Brady.
It says TT, though. Somebody has their
mic. She'll tell us. They do.
Philip. Oh, it's because I'm muted over here and no one can hear me. So,
okay.
Richard, they heard you and heard the introduction. So we are going to have Alex Brady on today, and she has written a very practical book called From Chaos to Clarity, Getting Unstuck and Creating a Life You Love. Wouldn't we all love that? And so she's going to lead us down that path, but we have a few announcements before we start. We are simultaneously broadcasting. For those of you who want to watch the show, you can go to soundhealthoptions.com, go to radio, and go to Blog Talk, and you will see Alex Brady's picture there. Tells a little bit about her life, and we're going to know more about her soon. We have a chat with us. You can put questions in the chat. Some people have already sent me chat questions, and they are tough ones. Richard, over there on Blog Talk Radio, do you have a chat up and running?
I do. And for those that are just hearing this, you can also, the gateway to everything is to go to soundhealthoptions.com, click on the radio tab, and then click on Blog Talk Radio, and there you'll have either a phone number, which is 347-850-1407, to join in and listen to the audio at Blog Talk Radio, and or also there's a link there to take you to the chat that I'm running over at Blog Talk Radio, where we have people conversing, and or you can also see the link to join Sherry's, the WebEx feed that she manages that has shows, pictures, that has a video to it and audio, and also quite an active chat typically. And so that's the gateway to get to either one of us.
Richard, do you have any announcements before we start?
I have an announcement. Usually I try and have an announcement that's sort of part of the what we're talking about, but this one just blows my mind so much I couldn't help it. The title of this is Cattle Ranchers Shot and Killed by Idaho Deputies in Fight Over Bull Injured by Car. So
they killed the owner of the cow?
They killed the owner. They killed a 62-year-old man who brought a rifle to a crash site near Boise, Idaho. Now, he'd heard, I believe that the story is, that there was a bull from his ranch loose. It was hit by a car. Now, I'm making this up, but certain you can back me or confirm this for me, that in a country, you know, in country where you have animals, and if it gets hit by a car, you might have a gun to put the animal out of its misery if it's hit severely damaged. So this 62-year-old man brought a rifle to the scene of the accident where his bull had been hit by a car, and the unidentified deputies were preparing to shoot the irate farm animal as it threatened to charge both the deputies and a driver passenger hurt in the car. But Yantis showed up and brandished his weapon. Now, that's really brandished his weapon. He was probably carrying it like a farmer would. And they shot him after a scuffle. So this, 60-year-old guy shows up to possibly take an animal away or to put it out of its misery, and he ends up getting shot. The community's horrified. He's been a member of that community for most of his life. And everybody's, confused and perplexed, as well as I am.
Boy, how do you come to terms with it? It churns my stomach.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to take us on such a down note. You'll have to come up with the upbeat notes. Sorry. Blows my mind.
I'm afraid I have a few down notes and one good one, but hold on, because this helps with what is going on in our country and also with our guests. New York City mom suing over mandatory flu vaccinations. Now, we just did a show last Tuesday about the flu vaccination and showed that they contain the same frequencies as autism genes, as pneumonia. So if you haven't seen that, go back and listen to our happy hour about vaccines. We actually released the frequencies to use as an antidote for bioacoustics. And we should tell people that we are being sponsored by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health, and we're being sponsored particularly today with a software program that is free to everyone listening. It's called Nano Voice. You get it by going to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, and then to downloads. And you can talk to it and say, well, I have a problem with this or this, and it'll give you some hints. It's automatic. Five little pushes of a button, and it just prints you out information about what you're talking about. So we want to make sure that people have access to that. But mom suing over mandatory flu vaccination, and we did use bioacoustic biology to show what was inside this flu. But this is an example of you don't like something in your life, get together with your friends, family, whoever else is interested, and do something about it. So that's going to lead into our guests after the next couple announcements. Another one, Richard, you'll jump on this. The Nestle Company, which I know you love. Richard has made a lot of announcements about the Nestle Company stealing water out of California. But they have decided that water is not a food, it's not a right, and it should be under the jurisdiction of whoever owns water rights or the government or whatever, which I think is absolutely incredible. But there it is. Nestle.
I bet they do, considering how much they're still, to this day, they're still pumping out millions of gallons of water a day out of an aquifer in California. Now, mind you, we're in about our fifth year of drought, even though we don't, well, actually, let's say 4 years. Let's be gentle and say 4 years. And yet they're still managing to suck water out of the earth so they can put it in little plastic bottles and sell it at 7-Elevens all over the country. So, of course, they want it to be privatized. I bet they want it to be privatized.
Yeah, money in their pocket. Okay, we've got that soapbox down. One question from our audience about a non-guest thing, and there are lots of questions come in already for our guests. But this one was about, do I really need all the equipment from Sound Health? Can't I just make my own sound? And absolutely, you can. We have written an article. It's been up for 20 years or more. And it is, if you can moan, you can tone. And it teaches you how to make your own sound to go into deep meditation and find answers for yourself. So I've put that in the chat. Or you can go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, and just use the search and look for the word moan. It's the only Time Moan appears on our entire website. And now for some good news. Remember last week when Jill Madsen was on our show and everybody was so excited about her new book? Well, Jill sent us a book to give away to our audience. So if any of you are interested in having a copy of Jill's book, you could just write to me, Sherry Edwards, Sharry Edwards, at gmail.com, and we'll do a drawing like we do for the softwares that we give away. And Jill's book is beautiful. It's incredibly written. The information in it, I should say, is just absolutely incredible, too. But it's beautiful. She did the front cover herself. She is a prolific artist. So, Richard, are you going to get a copy of Lost Waves this time?
Absolutely. We've been talking about it for quite a while with her, and it's so exciting to see it finally in print, so I can't wait. Jill's books are always. I always joke with her, like, how do you have time to have children? Because she's just unbelievably prolific and brilliant in how she flows things together into, you know, from music to math to back to history to. It's really wonderful.
The colors, the sound, and this book is about ancient sound. She takes each society and looks how they use sound for healing and for meditation. And that is a good lead-in to our guest because she totally believes in using meditation. So would you introduce our guest, Richard?
I certainly will. Alex Brady was a superstar in the public opinion polling field, one of the youngest partners ever in a prestigious Washington research firm. Her job was to listen to people to find out what they think and how they feel. She turned into their emotional responses to get deeply in touch with their whys in life. The irony was that during that 15 years, she was rising to the very top of her field. She wasn't listening to her own inner voice. To discover her true emotions, to pay attention to her deepest desires and to understand why she was so stuck in her own life. Through tremendous trial and error, we'll talk about that, she finally found her way. And now she's giving us the shortcut through her how-to book, From Chaos to Clarity, Getting Unstuck and Creating a Life You Love, the Essential Guide to Getting Your Life Back on Track. Welcome, Alex Brady. Good morning.
Good morning, Richard and Sherry. It's a pleasure to be here. And I heard you debating my name at the top of the hour. It's actually Brady. For all my sins, it is what you think it is.
Okay.
It's Brady, yes. It's a
pleasure
to be here.
Wow, there's so many potential. We've just met and there's so many jokes there. I get, you know, really, Brady? Wow, that's a tough one. Okay.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, here's the beautiful thing about it. No one ever forgets it.
That is a great thing. In terms of a marketing thing, nobody will ever forget Brady. Yeah. Remember that
That's
Brady
exactly
woman?
Exactly right.
Yes, it's so perfect. It's so perfect.
Yes.
So I want to talk about, I was going to ask a different lead question, but once I saw that again, I have to ask. The trials and error parts, I chuckle about that because I've had that in my own life of like, oh, no, maybe. I thought so. I guess not. So you, through your own trials and errors, you had, I'm believing, a tipping point where you went, oh, this is what I want to do, or this is what I meant to do, or, you know, did you have a tipping point where suddenly after the trials and errors, it just floated to the top, or you worked on getting to that point of clarity?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we all have that in life, right? We sort of go down one road and sometimes we think it's the right one and it turns out that, you know, perhaps this isn't for me. However, the beautiful thing about that is it's all an experience, right? And we're learning from our experiences all the time. So for me, I was in a, you know, the corporate research world for 15 years. It was a very, you know, well-established career. And despite doing very well in that field, I ultimately got to the point where I was really burned out and run down, and the work itself was just losing meaning for me and fulfillment. And so here I am after spending 15 years in this world, sort of left to think, well, gee, do I want my life to be like this, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from now? And the thought of that made me want to get into the fetal position, frankly. And so it was essentially as I started taking a step back from that and thinking about what do I want to do with my life and starting to explore different possibilities, you know, that's when I sort of tried different things on and, you know, some things felt okay, some things didn't fit at all. And, you know, finally I kind of landed in this place where I realized that, you know, across all the different things and that I am interested in, across all the skills and the knowledge that I've picked up along the way, essentially there was a common theme, and that was to help and serve people. And so from that, I started to explore, well, what does that look like, right? What form does that take in my life? And ultimately, for me, it landed on coaching and writing and speaking. And so that's where I am today, feeling more fulfilled in what I'm doing. But it doesn't negate all those other things that I did in the past. In fact, I've drawn a lot from my prior career and from the other exploration that I did so that I am in this place and pulling on all those things that I've done. So even if you find yourself on a path that doesn't quite feel like that's the right fit for you, it's still a great place to learn and grow from.
Well, and I think that there's this interesting thing. I suspect from the outside to other people that you, the outside picture looked all bright and shiny. You were in the corporate sector. You probably had a good-looking life from the outside. So everybody would think you were the poster child for, you know, happiness and bliss. I'm making this
yes.
up, but I'm just making it up in the sense of, you know, you're in the corporate sector, you're successful, you're profiling people, you're giving them the information they want, you're making a good living and all this. But then there's that inside picture that gets lost in that shuffle of, you know, it seems like a brave act to suddenly stop and go, no, I actually want to be happy. I look like I should be happy, but I really want to be happy. Is that the wake-up moment where you go, I want to make a change so I can actually love what I do?
That's exactly right. You nailed it right there. That's exactly what was going on. I mean, from the outside, it did look like I kind of had it all, right? The big job, the clients, I was traveling all over the country, and it was a very lucrative career. But inside, I was kind of dying a little more each day. It just wasn't, it became over time just not the right fit for me. You know, I was away from my family all the time, and that's not what I wanted anymore. And I realized, you know, in just sort of staying in it and continuing on, essentially I was living Einstein's definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And I was like this little hamster on a wheel where I just kept going and sort of hoping that somehow it was going to get better. But it really did get to the point where I realized that if something was going to change, it meant I had to change it. No one else was going to come along and change it for me. Nothing was really going to change in my situation. In fact, it was probably only going to just continue becoming even more demanding than ever before. So that's when I really did take a step back. Like I said, I started on my own journey of self-discovery. And in doing so, I understood then, you know, some of the limiting beliefs I'd been walking around with and how those were essentially, you know, directing some of the decisions I was making about my life and how to reprogram those so that I was opening up to other possibilities. And once I did that, it was kind of like Pandora's box, right? It's like once you have this knowledge, are you going to try to get it back in there? No, it's open and it's out there now, and you're much more self-aware of the fact that I'm creating my life. Even though I may not necessarily like where it's led me right now, guess what? I did create it, and that's a tough pill to swallow at first. But it's also very empowering because once I realized that, okay, well, I created this without quite realizing that I created it, but if I become more deliberate about what I'm doing, then I absolutely have the power to create my life the way I wanted it. And that really was the pivotal moment when I knew I couldn't stay where I was, that it really was time for me to sort of step out of this sort of darkness that I felt, you know, in staying in this life and stepping into the light and building a life that worked for me where I was truly happy and I was doing something that I found fulfilling and that was serving others as well.
You've talked about being pulled elsewhere about dissatisfaction, about chaos, boredom. What's the thing people need to look for to really identify? Because some people are so complacent, they don't even have that aha moment. They just know they're unhappy.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, sometimes we don't even realize we're stuck, right? I mean, those symptoms do show up pretty strongly, though. I mean, if your life isn't moving in the direction you want it to, and you're not sure how to change it, you're stuck. Or if, like me, you were kind of doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, you're basically stuck where you are. But even if you have, you know, feelings of frustration or anxiety, burned out, sadness, depression, whatever it is, or just simply knowing there must be more to life than what you're experiencing, chances are you're stuck. And so if you are feeling any of those things about your life, whether it's in general or a specific aspect of your life, then, you know, the key to it is to essentially that beginning part is to sort of take a step back and really assess the situation for what it is. Realize that what is it that I don't like that's going on here, and start becoming aware of the fact that you have created it to this point, but it doesn't mean it has to stay that way. You can take back control and get very clear on what you do want and start creating a plan and a strategy to get there. And in the book, that's what I do, is essentially lay out a roadmap to help you identify what exactly is keeping you stuck, which may not always be what it seems, by the way, you know, where it came from, how you can change it, and also how you can then move beyond just, okay, I'm here right now, but take you to that sort of higher level, if you like, where you really are able to create the life that you want to have.
There are a lot of...
And do we...
Go ahead.
Okay. Do we have to jump off a cliff to make this change, to make these changes, or... can we do this in baby steps for those of us that have jobs where we can't just go, I hate this and I'm out? You drop the mic, as I like to say, I drop the mic and walk off stage.
Right.
Are we jumping off a cliff, or are we able to do this in steps so that we can still maintain our jobs and slowly transition? How does that work?
Yeah, well, you raise a really important point there, Richard. Thank you. I think, no, we are not jumping off a cliff at all. In fact, I would advise against that, because essentially you just create more chaos for yourself and more pressure as to what you're going to do. And so I always talk about taking incremental steps and doing it over time. And I know, you know, here's the thing with that. Of course, we live in a society where we want that instant gratification, and it's, you know, that space between finding what we want and actually getting it, that's getting shorter and shorter. We have very limited patience. So, you know, I am going to deliver a tough truth here to your listeners in that it's going to take a little time to do this, right? And you do have to be committed to it. I mean, hey, it is your life at the end of the day. So if you do want it to change, it starts with you. But I absolutely recommend taking steps to do so. So let's say you're not enjoying your work like I wasn't, but you're not in a position to just drop it and, you know, take time out and figure out what you want to do and then start building again. You do it incrementally. So you start getting clear on, you know, what is it that I actually do want to do? Where are my passions? What are the things that I'm interested in? And I know some of that can be very challenging. It was for me at the beginning, because I was so wrapped up in what I was doing that I didn't even have time or space to think about what I actually enjoyed in life and wanted to do. So there are, in my book, there are exercises to get clear on those things. I want to reassure people on that. But once you get some clarity around that, essentially it's looking for opportunities to bring that into your life. So, you know, let's say you realize that you have a great passion to actually work with animals, and that's what you really want to do. Your ultimate dream is to open an animal rescue and be working with animals every day and getting them to good homes. does that mean you quit your job and then, you know, start an animal rescue? No, not at all. It means that perhaps you go to your local animal rescue and see if you can volunteer for a few hours a week and bring that part of fulfillment into your life. And then sort of look at, okay, well, perhaps if I really am loving it, right, I'm trying it on by volunteering, if it's my path, if it's truly what I want to do, then maybe I look at how do people make money in this space, if it's something I want to do full-time, if I want to move there. And so it's looking at different ways that you can bring these things into your life. And as I always tell people, you know, two things. One, start from where you are with what you have. Right? So just start with what you have. Even if it's very little, just start with that. And ask yourself every day, what is one thing I can do today to take a step towards my dream? It might be making a phone call. It might be taking a 10-minute walk outside just to clear your head. It might be, you know, making connections in a new field that you're interested in working with. But what is that one thing that you can do so that you can start bringing this thing of interest, this maybe this passion or this calling that you're feeling into your life, so that you can over time then make those changes and start moving to where you want to go?
And I want to jump back for a moment, and I'll quote the great wisdom of Buckaroo Banzai from the film of a name I can never remember. Wherever you go, there you are. How do we get clear of that? That's such a truth. Wherever you go, there you are. So how do we get that in the context of all of this, in the sense of, I'll talk about myself and my history. You wouldn't necessarily expect I'm where I am now in terms of talking into a microphone. However, the whole context of my life, the pile of that, it took me a long time to get to, like, oh, this, I like doing this. I'm kind of good at this. I am wherever I go. I'm there. And how do we? Is there a way we can really get clear about that? I believe it's in there. Go ahead, Sherry.
In your own life, you've been a cook, you've been a master herbalist, and now you're this incredible radio techno person. So I want the audience and Alex to know that you've had this transition. Now, get her to answer your question because I'm fascinated.
Absolutely. Well, yes. So I think, there's two things that I think you're kind of bringing in there. One is that you've had all those different roles in your life, and they've ultimately, even though they sound very disconnected, cook to radio show host, that sounds like two very different things. But ultimately, you've probably evolved over time, and I'm sure that you bring in some of those skills that you learned as a cook into your radio, right? Like, what's on the menu? We need to have variety, keeping things organized, right? I mean, a kitchen is all about having sort of that production line, if you like, and that, of course, plays into what you do right now. So there's that part of it where, you know, even if we feel we're making sort of a 180-degree switch in what we do, you don't have to throw away what you did before. You have learned wonderful skills and knowledge along the way, and you can apply them on a different platform, which is exactly what I'm doing. So I'm writing, speaking, and coaching, and I'm doing it in the personal development world, which sounds very different from doing it in the corporate research world, but I was actually doing all those things in my previous career. I was writing research reports. I was presenting to executives all the time. I was coaching in the boardroom in terms of how do you apply these research findings? What does it mean for your company and your organization moving forward? I now am just applying that on a different platform. So I'm using all those skills that I had. So that's one aspect of wherever you go, there you are. The other part of it is, and this is where your change within you comes in, which is, let's say you are in a job that you hate and you want to get out and you just feel like, well, if I could just move jobs, everything will be better. People will be better. The politics will be better and I'll find more fulfilling work. Maybe. But then again, you're taking yourself to your new work situation, and you may find that you essentially have all the same situation, except it's just a different set of players. And that's all, another meaning of wherever you go, there you are. So you need to look at yourself, because it's not really about the situations that we're in. And we love to sort of point the finger and look externally and say, well, if he hadn't done this to me, or she hadn't said that, or if they just did this better, then everything would be better for me. No, not really. It's really about you. You are creating the situation that you're in today. And as I said, you know, a few minutes ago, that can be a tough pill to swallow sometimes. But it is you, because you've made choices and decisions along the way that have led to where you are. But the empowering part of that, if you take that on and say, okay, yeah, you know, I have made choices that have led me to this, you're taking back control. You're taking back control of your life, which means that it puts you squarely in the driver's seat to then create deliberately moving forward in terms of what you do want to have. And so it is about looking inwards, looking at some of those limiting beliefs that you may be walking around with that you actually don't even realize you have because they're in your subconscious. Maybe you're listening to that negative chatter a lot and letting it direct you. I mean, you know the stuff I'm talking about. You have a good idea, and instantly in your head you hear, you can't do that. Don't be ridiculous. Go do something else instead, or you should be doing this. The, you know, get your mind right kind of thing. And that is really... That negative chatter can seem real, and it can keep you stuck where you are instead of taking that step towards what you want. So when I talk about, you know, looking inwards, it is about those two very big things, and I have chapters devoted to both of those in the book where we take people through a whole reprogramming process where people are, you know, I show them how can you, first of all, identify those limiting beliefs because they are in your subconscious, and assessing whether they're actually your beliefs. Did you pick them up somewhere else? Are they still serving you today? And then how do you release those and replace them with beliefs that are going to serve you moving forward and help you get moving again? And then how to tune out that negative voice and listen instead to the positive voice, your true self, that has all the answers to the questions you have and that has your best interests at heart and wants you to do the thing that makes your heart happy, that makes you happy in your life. So it's looking at yourself and dealing with yourself before maybe making such a drastic change as just saying, okay, I hate my job and I'm going to go somewhere else, or, you know, I hate my relationship and I'm going to go somewhere else. It is about you and the changes that you can make within you and how you direct your life moving forward from there.
And do I have to go sit in a cave and home and eat, you know, vegetables for months to get clarity on this? I mean, I guess what I'm really asking is the process. Is what's the, you know, this is what you, when I think about people who spend a lot of time meditating, or, you know, I meditate for an hour in the morning and an hour at night and I feel great, I'm thinking, that's not my thing. Walking in nature is my kind of meditation. But, you know, how do we, is there a magic moment when it becomes clear, or is it really just you, in your book, you really go down the steps of like, okay, start here, do this, you know, listing, or is it, what is the process to get to that clarity of like, okay, here's what I see myself really doing? Because if you put my pile of things, as you said, you know, master herbalist, chef, photographer, that's enough, filmmaker. So you wouldn't, if I were to look at that pile of things, I would think about that would get me here, but as I break them down now and look back, it makes sense in a really weird way. That I could be here. So how do you, it's easy to, in hindsight for me to look and go that, but if 20 years ago somebody had handed me your book and said, you know, you'll get clarity now, sooner. Clarity sooner would have been great.
Yes.
So how do we get that? How do we...
Exactly. Well, and that's why I wrote the book, right? Because it took me, just as it, you know, sounds like it's taken you a while to sort of land on what you love and go down these various other paths, I feel the same way. And so it took me such a long time to figure it all out that I wanted to create essentially a quick step guide for other people so that they can take, you know, step by step to how to get there. And, you know, really there's, it's kind of like, essentially you start with what I've been saying, which is recognizing that you create it, okay? So you put yourself, you take responsibility and you put yourself in the driver's seat. And then you do need to look at your limiting beliefs and if they need to be changed, right? Some people call them self-sabotaging beliefs, but they're essentially, they're in our subconscious. And we do need to identify them because you're operating from that place all the time without realizing it. So if, you know, one of the most popular ones that so many people have is, I'm not good enough or I'm not smart enough. If that's where you're operating from, then yeah, you're going to get stuck and you're not going to grab those opportunities you want. So that's a key step. Then, as I mentioned, you know, quieting those negative voices, learning how to do that, how to recognize that that's all they are, they're not real, and how to tune in to your real self that has the positive voice and has the answers. And then it's about essentially, you know, release some of the past, release all those things that you're feeling grudges about, start to forgive, start to release yourself so that you can now embrace the future. Like, we can't move into the future we want if we're holding on to some of this stuff in our past, right? Your past is done. You cannot go back and change it. So let it go. And there's a whole section on how to do that. Then you can really start to find this space to open up and look at, okay, the different aspects of your life. And I walk in the book through how to do that, right? So we break it down into sort of 10 different parts of your life and looking very deliberately at what do you want there. And sometimes that is it's a simple question, but sometimes it's very difficult to answer. So I have people start with what they don't want, because that we are always clear on. We are always very quick to identify what we don't like and what we don't want in our life. So within all these different aspects, define what you don't like about that particular aspect of your life and what you do want instead. So using what you don't want, pivot off of that and say, okay, well, if I don't want this, what do I want? So start getting really clear around those things and why you want those things in your life. And then it's looking at essentially the skills, the knowledge, you know, the talent that you already have in whatever you've done already in your life, and essentially overlapping that with those parts of your life, the things that you want to create. And again, I mean, I'm putting this in a nutshell, obviously, given our time constraints, but I walk you through how to do all this in the book. And as you do that, as you kind of overlay these things, you start to see common themes emerge about what you want. And it could be, you know, you'll see a theme emerge that you never thought was there, maybe in what you want in your work life and what you want in your relationships. Those seem like two separate parts, right? But actually, we are holistic human beings, right? All these different aspects of our life make up who we are, our relationships, our social connections, our career, money, how we think about money, spirituality, community, all these different aspects of our life make up who we are. And we break it down into those sections to get very deliberate about what you want. But then as you look across them and bring it back holistically, you start to see these different sort of ideas, concepts, themes that keep coming back across all different parts of your life. And from there, you start to get clarity about where your passion lies and what your calling may be or your higher purpose and what you may want to move towards. Then it's about essentially creating that action plan. Okay, what are the things that I can do that move me a little more towards that each day? And as we talked about earlier, it's not about making some radical leap once you've figured this out. It's about saying, okay, what form does this take in my life? And how can I sort of explore that and try it on and start bringing that into my life so that I have that happiness and joy and fulfillment?
And she's telling the truth, people. I'm looking at her book. On page 123 and forward, she's got all these step-by-steps really telling you how to do this. Alex, we have a lot of really good questions from our audience. So I'm going to start with an overview one that deals with what's happening in the world today. Is there any benefit to chaos, and how does tragedy fit into it, and how can you make it fit into your transition?
Yeah, I know. There's a lot going on in the world, and particularly, I mean, you know, that what happened in Paris on Friday is, you know, one of those very tragic things where sometimes we are, you know, we're trying to look at the positive, we're trying to stay positive, and then something like that comes along and just like knocks the wind out of you and leaves you wondering, you know, what is going on in the world? There's so much chaos happening. And I think sometimes when you have chaos like that, it is really hard to find your way out of it. But there can be clarity in the midst of that. You know, you can get very clear on essentially your purpose, right? So while you may feel helpless in the context of something as big as what happened in Paris happening, essentially you can get clear about how you want to be in the world. I mean, it's, you know, that classic saying by Gandhi, you know, be the change that you want to see. And so, you know, as we sort of set out with these lofty goals of, you know, I want world peace or I want to change the world, none of that happens unless it starts with you. And as more and more people become self-aware and become more conscious about who they are, what they want, how they want to contribute to the world, how they want to show up in the world, the legacy that they want to leave behind, that's where change really starts to happen. And that's where clarity comes out of the chaos. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes that feels like, well, if it's only me doing it, how on earth can that have an impact? But that's how any change happens. I mean, that's the whole sort of definition of grassroots, right? And we know the power of how a grassroots movement can impact things, or, you know, things going viral on the internet, right? Somebody makes a video and suddenly it's viral on the internet and being seen all around the world. That one person did it. And so it is about looking at yourself and how you want to live your life and how you want to show up in the world. That's how you make that change, and that's how you find the clarity in some of the chaos that's going around. So it's finding that centeredness in yourself so that you can be very clear about what you want in life, where you want your life to be, even when these other things are going on around you.
I would think, well, there's so many questions from the audience pouring in, but I would think the family of the 60-year-old man that was shot over a cow is in absolute chaos. And how do you come to terms with that? Or is that a set of something over here and not really what you deal with in your book?
Yeah, I mean, that's another great example, right? I mean, why on earth would that have happened? I mean, you're left wondering that, right? I mean, I'm sure that they are just, they're in shock, I'm quite sure, and wondering how to deal with that. And sometimes we are given these very difficult and traumatic situations in our life. And while my book doesn't go into that specifically, what I can say is that, again, it's about finding essentially your peace with all of it. And I know that that sounds incredibly challenging when you feel that something like this has happened and you feel so wronged and so harmed that, you know, someone shot my family member over a cow. I mean, how could that possibly happen? But over time, you know, the family essentially to move on, they are going to need to forgive. And I know, again, that sounds incredibly challenging given where they're at. Why on earth would they forgive someone who shot their family member? But it's actually the only way they're going to be able to release themselves, because forgiving does not mean that you are condoning someone or what they did or that you approve of it or, very importantly, that you are letting them off the hook. You are not. But if you continue to sort of be eaten up by those feelings of, you know, revenge is one in that situation, which comes very fast, right? It's sort of like that immediate kind of, you know, your lizard brain kicks in and it's like, oh, I want to, you know, do something. I want to have revenge. But if you allow yourself to get caught up in that revenge and that anger and allow it to sort of fester and continue over time, it literally starts to eat away at you. And so it is about essentially sort of looking for the higher meaning in what happened. And right now, that's probably very difficult to find. I get it. What can the meaning possibly be here? But releasing yourself from being caught up in that is something that the family is probably going to want to look at over time. Otherwise, they are going to get stuck, and they're going to be essentially you know, caught in these really low vibrating emotions that will keep them stuck moving forwards unless they can find it in their heart to forgive.
That's one of the things in your book. You talk about changing your vibration. There's an ancient saying, I don't remember who said it, but holding on to revenge is like taking poison and expecting the other guy to die.
Yes.
Here it will change up just a little bit. This from the audience, from Andrew. Compare and contrast a midlife crisis to moving to clarity.
Yeah, well, midlife crisis is very often when we feel that we're in chaos and we are looking at clarity, right? And I think that in that instance, when you're in that kind of midlife assessment of like, God, is this where I'm at? And, you know, I actually like to call it midlife clarity, not midlife crisis. And, you know, hey, I'm 41, so you can basically look at my story and say, yeah, she had her midlife moment there in changing what I was doing and kind of switching gears. Because when we get to midlife, what happens is we now have a lot of experience under our belt, right? Things have happened to us. You know, in your 20s, it's all sort of about, okay, you know, I got to get a job or I got to find my career, I got to find my way. And it's all about sort of, you know, setting out as an adult and sort of creating this, you know, whatever it is you're going to do in life and sort of getting yourself out there. And then your 30s are sort of that really establishing yourself in what you're doing. By the time you kind of hit that 40, 50, and you're in that midlife range, you kind of are in a different position where you're able to look at life a little differently. And often our priorities have shifted, right? Like in our 40s and 50s, we sort of look and say, yeah, you know, when I really think about it, you know, work may be important, obviously. I need a paycheck. I need to put food on the table. But it ain't everything. And they sure as heck, when, you know, they write my tombstone, nobody ever had a tombstone that said, she worked really hard. He worked really hard. He worked late nights. No. I mean, you start to get a different perspective on life where you look at what really is important to you. And maybe you've had loss through your life, you know, just like this family that you mentioned, you know, the family member being shot over the cow. You have these tragedies that happen. You've been through a lot. And you evaluate life a little differently. And that's where the midlife sort of the big questioning can come in. Is this what I'm doing? Is this what it's all about? Is this what it's going to be in 10, 20, 30 years from now? Gee, I sure hope not. A lot of people say that, right? Gee, I sure hope not. And so this is what it's about. It's about finding clarity. And so it's very much about what I was talking about earlier, which is look at the different aspects of your life. And I, as you said, Sherry, I'm telling the truth. It does lay it out in the book for you. And look at what you don't like. Look at what feels like chaos to you. And get clear on what you do want. Because you do have time. You have a lot of time left to move in the direction that you want. You know, sometimes we hit midlife and we think, oh, but it's too late to start something new. You know, I'm over the hill. Come on, people. It's never too late. It's your life. You know, it's your life. You get to decide what you do. And so it is about just finding that clarity and getting really clear on what you want. And then what I would say, we've touched on this a little bit, but not really talked about it, which is pay attention to where you're placing your thoughts and your focus. So once you get clear on what you want, start focusing on that because that's what you create, right? Like what we say, what we think, what we feel, what we believe inwardly, it all contributes to that outward reality that we create, right? So realize that you hold that power to create the life you want, and it's by where you channel your energy and your thoughts that you do it. So start focusing on what you want. And, you know, ask yourself, and if the things that you want seem out of reach, ask yourself this: what would I do if I didn't think it was impossible? And take that step. So take the impossible out of it. Just say, if it wasn't impossible, what would I do? And do that thing today. And as we've been talking about, you know, take those steps, take those incremental steps to get you where you want to be. It doesn't have to happen overnight. You can do it over time and just take one step every day towards what you want. And that clarity will come as you get clear on what you want and start taking steps towards it.
There's times when there are obstacles in the way, and one of the questions from our audience shows this. Very, very practical question here. He says, I have a very good job that I sort of like. Well, I really don't know if this is a man or woman. I have a very good job that I sort of like, but I'd rather be an attorney. How can I let my family down, reduce their lifestyle, run off, go to school, spend long hours away from them? It's not fair to them, and I didn't know my attraction to the law before my family came along.
Yeah. So, and this is, of course, when you have a family, you know, you do, you've got a responsibility to other people, right? And you want to, obviously, you always take that into account when you're making your decisions. So, you know, two things I would say about that. One is, essentially, have you talked to your family about this, right? Because sometimes we don't do things because we play out in our mind what other people think we should do, or we're playing out what we think they think, right? So we don't bring it up because we're like, oh my gosh, if I say that I'm going to go to night school to become a lawyer, you know, they're going to hate that, and they're going to just be like, how can you do that? You're going to be spending so much time away from us. And so it's not until you talk to people and communicate with them that you can actually understand what they're thinking, because often we project our own fears and thoughts onto what we think other people are thinking, right? So take a look at that and see, is it your thought? Are you thinking these things and then kind of projecting them onto your family? And have you talked to them about this and how it could work in a practical sense? You may be surprised. They may be feeling like, wow, we wish you would follow your passion. You know, you'd be a lot happier if you were doing something that you loved. And we can support you. We can figure out how to make the time work. You know, it's not like you're going to be going to school 5 nights a week. What nights would you be going? And then how do we carve out family time so that we're creating that quality time for us? You know, whether it's during the weekend or some evenings, whatever it is, you can look at it from a very practical point of view. And then the other thing I would say is that is a big commitment. Making the commitment to go to law school and, you know, essentially carve out a whole new career for yourself in that way is a big commitment. You may want to try it on first. And what I mean by that is, can you shadow a lawyer for a day? Can you talk to other people who've done what you have done to understand what is the commitment that's required? You know, where did you go to law school? How long did it take? How many nights a week were you going to class? How many hours were you studying beyond just showing up at class? Because it's more than that. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of homework. And actually try it on in that sense. Get a lot of knowledge and understanding about what you'd be taking on to get clear on whether it is what you want. And I'll give you an example. In fact, one of the things that I tried on as I was looking at changing things up for myself was to go back and do a PhD in psychology. I've always kind of wanted a PhD, you know, and now maybe it was the time to do it. But that's a big commitment. That's 5 years, roughly, of your life and devoted to a topic that you better care a lot about. So what did I do? I actually took some part-time classes at a local university in psychology. I reached out to professors there, and I went to talk to them about what it would mean to, you know, go in the PhD program, especially sort of because I wasn't the typical PhD student. A lot of them come straight out of college, which would be your instance, too, becoming a lawyer kind of midlife as opposed to going straight on from college, right? And talking to them about that and what it would mean and what the commitment was. I also, a professor included me in a reading group to allow me to come in and kind of experience that academic world because I hadn't been in it for a really long time. I have my master's in business administration, but I got that, 14 years ago now. So it's been a long time since I've been in academia. And I did all these different little steps. While I was still working full-time in my old career, I did them to try it on. And what I ultimately discovered was, you know, this isn't for me, at least not right now. This is not what I'm looking for. It's just not the environment that I want to be in. Maybe I'll come back to it. So I would say absolutely find ways to try it on before you make the total commitment to walk down that road. And talk to your family. Talk on a very practical level about how could it work. Let's look at this. Let's take our week, and how do we divide it up? How would we make this essentially work so that I'm still here for you, and you know that, but I'm able to follow my dream? So just a few thoughts and a few practical suggestions.
Take some small steps and explore where you ultimately want to be. We have another question, and it's very sad. I don't even know how I feel about it, reading it, but I'm going to ask anyway. When you have a handicapped child and you are now a single parent, how does that fit into bringing your life to what you want when there are others involved? Give the child up and go on with my life? Stay put or stay unhappy?
That's a very challenging situation, my heart goes out to whoever sent you that. Yes, I mean, obviously, if you have a handicapped child, there's a lot to deal with. I would certainly, you know, it would never be my place to tell you to give up your child. I am definitely not saying that in my book and on air right now in terms of, you give things up to follow the life that you love. In that instance, I would look at, essentially, you know, what if you're unhappy with the way your life is, look at what it is that's making it unhappy. I mean, are you sort of still caught up in feelings of, you know, why me, why this child, why do I have to deal with everything that goes along with that instead of having a healthy child and sort of, you know, having that sort of not easy, because it's not easy to raise kids, but that easier route than having a child who has a disability. So I would really look at what it is that you are feeling and what you're thinking about your situation. Because, again, the more you think about, whatever you think about is whatever you create. So if you are coming from a place where you feel that this has got to be hard and, it all sucks, the whole thing sucks all the way around, then essentially that's, you're going to create more of the same. It is going to suck and it is going to be really hard. And so it's looking at, essentially, what can you, in that situation, like for immediate relief, right? And I don't know, obviously, I don't know what the listener wants to do with their life, so I'm not going to get into that. But in terms of immediate relief, the way to kind of sort of start switching your mindset around and getting to a more positive place is practicing gratitude. What can you be grateful for? So rather than focusing on what you don't have, focus on what you do have. You do have a child. You are a parent. I'm sure there's other things in your life that you can look around and actually appreciate. You have a roof over your head. You have family or friends around that support you. I'm sure that you may have healthcare programs or developmental programs that you take your child to help him or her with that disability. Those are things to be grateful for, and to start looking for those things that you have in life and to start look at the things that are going well for you, to start raising your vibration and coming from a more positive place. And once you kind of get that sort of practicing gratitude is sort of the shortcut to sort of changing your mindset and focusing on the good things in life. And then again, I mean, do start getting clear on what you want. You know, really do look at that in terms of what you want and how you can bring that into your life. Yes, you have this very challenging situation, but is there a way to, if you feel you don't have me time or you just can't get a break from this world that you're in, is there part of your week where, you know, there is someone who can come in and give you an hour off so that you can do whatever it is you want to do, take a hike, go take a nice long bath and relax. Whatever it is for you, look at some practical ways that you can kind of create a little space and breathing time for yourself so that you feel like you are getting a little bit of relief in amongst everything that you're dealing with.
Is there a section in your book, I love this idea, practice gratitude. Is there a section in your book that points that out to people?
Yes, there absolutely is. It's in chapter 9, I believe, chapter 9 or chapter 10. And it does talk about the power of gratitude. And I encourage people to, you know, every day, look for 3 to 5 different things every day that you are grateful for. And no matter how bad your life seems right now, I can tell you that there are things to be grateful for. The very fact that you woke up this morning and that you have a life that is something to be grateful for, because, you know, some people don't.
I think somebody...
Alex just got dropped. Maybe they're having real weather in Las Vegas. Maybe they're having thunder and lightning. Or her phone just went dead.
We could talk about... Go ahead.
I'll watch for her in the dashboard to see when she comes back. I was going to say, I would add that gratitude thing. During the year that I was away, as I like to say, while I was in the healthcare facility for a year, hi, Alex. I was just telling the audience about I was in a healthcare facility for a year and I had 30 hours of surgeries. And that it really is that exactly what you're talking about. There's a moment of gratitude that you can find, even though that was a horrifically difficult year, I'll say politely. But I mean, there are those moments, and once you find one moment, I think it's easier to find the next.
Yeah,
is
absolutely.
True?
And apologies, I got cut off there somehow. I don't know how.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yes,
just went away. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, especially when we have traumatic experiences, like you're describing, where you had that surgery and all that those hours of recovery, there's something else called post-traumatic growth, where you do realize just how valuable life is, right? And how we don't realize when it might be taken away from us. And how it is important to truly value the time that we have and to practice gratitude for what we have every day. You know, tell the people around you that you love them every day. Don't be shy about that, because you don't know how long you have. You don't know if your life will be unexpectedly taken away, or, you know, you find yourself in some kind of tragedy. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, practicing gratitude is one of those things that, you know, you can't be in a bad space mentally if you're practicing gratitude. I mean, you can't be thinking, you know, good and bad things at the same time. So when you practice gratitude, you really are training your mind to look for the good, look for the positive, and focus on what you have, instead of, you know, being stuck in that place where you're focusing on what you don't have or what's going wrong. So you're putting yourself in that space where you're setting yourself up to create even more of the same, you know, in the sense that if you're practicing gratitude, you're looking at the positive, that you're going to attract more of the same, more positive into your life.
That sounds like the title to your next book. Post-traumatic growth. That's a great phrase. That is a stupendously great phrase. Because I will,
well, I can't
again
take credit
from my own
for it. Someone else came up with that, but it is. It's
oh, really?
A, it's
oh,
a,
too
a wonderful
bad, man.
Phrase.
That is,
yeah.
That is a great phrase. Because I can attest to that. I definitely had growth post-traumatic. How do people work with you? Do you work with people one-on-one, or do you have groups or classes or webinars or online classes, or really are you guiding people towards your book?
Yeah, well, both, actually. I mean, obviously, you know, the book we've been talking about today, From Chaos to Clarity, Getting Unstuck and Creating a Life You Love, it's available on Amazon, and any which way you like it, paperback, Kindle, and audio. And then in terms of my coaching, yes, I do group and one-on-one. And in fact, as part of my radio tour, what I'm offering to your listeners is a free 20-minute consultation. So if anyone out there is, you know, feeling stuck or feeling frustrated, burned out, overwhelmed, stressed, whatever, with their life, and, you know, wants to talk to me about sort of where you are right now, where you want to be, and how you can build the bridge to get there, just get in touch with me. And the way to do that is either through my website, which is alexbratty.com, spelled alexbratty.com, or just shoot me an email. It's very simple, alex@alexbratty.com, and we can set that up. I do in person. I'm in Las Vegas, but I also work. A lot of my work is over the phone or over Skype. So if you're somewhere else in the country, don't worry, because you know that's the beauty of technology today. We can all be connected, even though we are many miles apart.
We are looking at your site, and it says connect with Alex, and it gives a lot of different ways to do that. So
yeah, absolutely.
I will put this in chat for people.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Shari.
And
well, that was really excellent. I didn't think it would go quite that fast, but suddenly we got into like downhill racing. It just it's really I think one of the great things about your book is it is simple in the sense of, you know, you have steps. And that's always so beneficial. It really isn't jumping off a cliff. It kind of is jumping off a cliff, but it's small steps off the cliff.
Yes, it is. And I mean, that's exactly what I wanted to do, is write a book that was very practical and accessible for people, so that, you know, there's a real how-to to this. It's not just, I mean, yes, there are concepts in there and ideas that some of them may be new to you as you read the book, but it's very much a how-to. So if you are feeling stuck, if you're feeling burned out or frustrated or anxious about your life, pick up a copy, because it's not a long read either, by the way. It's a fairly quick read. And if you work the steps in there and work the exercises and the processes, you will find step by step you are getting yourself unstuck.
Fabulous. I'll be booking my appointment in moments.
thank you.
Thank you so much, Alex. Closing thoughts, Shari?
No, it just, I am going to write to Alex after the show with some of these other questions and comments so she can get back to the people that we couldn't get to.
It was
wonderful.
A lot of action.
It would be my pleasure. It would be my pleasure. And thank you so much for having me on and for sharing your listeners' questions with me. I so appreciate it.
Thank you so much,
group.
Alex. Have a great rest of the week. And everybody have a great Sunday, and we'll see you on Tuesday, maybe happy hour? I'm not sure what we are on Tuesday, but we're something. Anyway, we're something. I know we'll be here. I just don't know what we're talking about yet.
Always.
All right, everybody, have a great weekend. It'll be what?
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, everybody, thanks so much. Bye-bye.